All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, 13 lines down. Yesterday, we left off with the Gemara's discussion as to who the author of the Mishnah is. Because the Mishnah seems to demand that there be Lishma, because HaKol K'sherim L'Ketov V'Daget, Afilu Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. And then we have, at the end of it, She'en K'yum Aget Elo B'Chotamav. If you were to keep the entire Mishnah consistent, you would say that the first part is speaking about a case where there's no need for lishma. That's why cheresh shoteh v'katan are fine. And the latter half that says in kiyum aged el b'chotamav means that edei chatima karte. If you do that, then Rabbi Meir would be the author of the Mishnah. But we saw right away that the Gemara asks about cheresh shoteh v'katan v'ala b'nei de'a ninu. Then b'nei de'a, and to them Rav Huna says v'hu she'a gadol umed al gabav. That there is a gadol standing over them that gives them or imbues with them the lishma aspect. And that's how we deal with the lishma aspect of the Mishnah. Who Rav Huna is setting up the Mishnah like is not completely clear. We had a Rav Nachman statement afterwards, which distinguished within a goy, a nachri, as to whether they are k'sherim or not k'sherim. And that, he said, depended on whether you held like Rabbi Elazar or you held like Rabbi Meir, whether you held Edim Sira Karte, where you need the ktivah to be lishma, where a goy with someone standing over them would be no good, because yesh da'at atzmo. Whereas by Rabbi Meir, who only says, edei chatima karte, says you don't need lishma within the get itself, and therefore a goy would be fine. Now we have eight vei rov of the Rav Nachman. Vikotov la lishma. So it says that you have to write the get, and you have to do it lishma. You have to do it for the proper intent, the right woman, the man, the time, my love, ktivah to get. What is the reference in this Midrash Halacha? Isn't it the get itself that is required to be written Lishma? It says, no, Chatimat Eidim. It is the signatures of the Eidim, which is the Shita of Rabbi Meir. That's Eidei Chatimah Karte. And therefore, all you need to be Lishma is the signature of the Eidim, not the body of the get itself. As opposed to Rabbi Elazar, who says Eidei Mesira Karte, therefore he reads the Katavla referencing the body of the get. So again here, something that's not written for the particular woman, the get is not any good. Ema, again, you amend it to say, if it wasn't signed, or it wasn't sealed, finalized for that particular woman, then it's pasul, again, amending it so that it can fit into Eidei Chatima Karte, according to Rabbi Meir. Eitavei, one more question. When he writes it, it's as if he's writing it lishma. La, my love, what's the meaning of this cryptic statement? That if he writes the major aspects of the get lishma, the name of the man, the name of the woman, the time, then we assume that he also wrote the boilerplate language lishma. And again, that would be a demand that the lishma be in the body of the get, not just on the signatories. Lo, kushu chotomo lishma, kilu kodvo lishma. When he signs it lishma, it's as if he wrote the whole thing lishma. Not necessarily that there's a demand that he write the whole thing lishma, but signing a lishma gives the aspect of lishma that this get needs. Again, in all of these situations, Rova is challenging Rav Nachman's assumption that edei chatima karte means that the body of the get does not need to be lishma. He brings all of these midrashei halacha, and in bringing these midrashei halacha, we amend them each time or read them slightly differently in order that they can be explained even according to the shita of Rabbi Meir. V'ibayitema. So now the ibayitema is going back to the beginning of the sugya that says, V'alav b'nei de'aninhu. Aren't the cheresh and shoteh v'katan lacking in de'ah? Since they're lacking in de'ah, how are they able to write the get? So the answer that Rav Huna gave was, V'hu she'a gadol umed al gabav. Here is a different answer, which is Hani Matnitan Mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Elazarhi Damar Eide Misira Karti. It is authored by Rabbi Elazar that Eide Misira Karti. Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel Vehu Shishier Makom HaTorif. According to Rabbi Elazar, the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan write the entire get, but leave out the Torif. They leave out the major aspects of the get. Or, in other words, they write a boilerplate get. And then the major aspects, the man, the woman, the time, and the location, are all filled in by someone else afterwards. According to Rabbi Elazar, who says, Eidei Misira Karte, he demands the get itself be written lishma, because the cut of law and the pasuk then doesn't reference the Eidim, must be referencing the core of the get. So he needs the core of the get to be lishma. So how does he get past that problem here with Chereshot Vekatan? He says they left out the major aspects of the get, and then it was filled in. Again, there was left out of the get the major aspects, and it's according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Zrika, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eino Torah. That's not right. He says it's not a Torah. Ma Eino Torah? Amar Rabbi Amar, Kano Diacha, Shein Koach Lishma. Over here it tells you that there is no Koach Lishma. Rabbi Meir, and it's Rabbi Meir, Damar Idei Chatim Akarte, who says that Idei Chatim Akarte, and again, that helps out a lot in the Mishnah, because then there's no requirement of Lishma in the body of the get, and that explains why Chereshote v'Katan can write it. And that's why the Mishnah ends off, Shein Kiyum HaGet Elo B'Chol Tamav, because the get is made into a get through its signatories, and therefore the body of the get is irrelevant whether it was done Lishma or not Lishma, because everything is defined by the signatories to the get. Where it says, V'amar Rabba Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazarhi. Didn't we have in the name of Rabbi Yochanan already that the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar? Amurain inu valibid Rabbi Yochanan. You have Rabbi Barchano and Rabbi Zrika arguing within the position of Rabbi Yochanan as to whether the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Elazar or authored by Rabbi Meir. In this section of the Gemara, it's clear who they think the author of the Mishnah is. In the first place, they say Ibai Teima, and then they give an answer that it's Rabbi Elazar. And then we have a second answer, which says, no, it is authored by Rabbi Meir. What's never clarified is, according to Rav Huna, which says, Vahu Sheya Gadol Umeid Al Gabav, who are they setting the Mishnah up like? Now, there are reasons to set up the Mishnah like both Tanaim. The reason to set it up like Rabbi Elazar is because the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, that Ede Mesira Karte. So, there is a reason, or we would want to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar, because then it will be Aliba de Hilchata. On the other hand, we have a Stam Mishnah over here, and therefore a Stam Mishnah is Aliba de Rabbi Meir, and that's what Tosafot says, why the Gemara is trying so hard to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, despite the difficulty, because Stam Mishnah kir Rabbi Meir. And that goes back to what you were asking before, which is why is the Gemara trying so hard to amend and change the wording here, because they'd rather have the Mishnah be authored by Rabbi Meir, because then it's the Mishnah Rabbi Meir. So we saw those two positions here in the Ibayat Eima, one that it's like Rabbi Elazar, one like it's Rabbi Meir. Rav Huna says, V'hu Sheya Gadol Omeid Al Gabav, Gemara never clarifies who he thinks the author of the Mishnah is. According to most of the Rishonim, it would seem that he holds that the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Elazar. That's why he's demanding Lishma in the get. And that's why he has a gadol standing over the Chereshote v'Katan, because you need lishma in the core of the get, and that's the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. Tosafot, I mentioned it yesterday, Tosafot on the bottom of Chavbet Amud Bet suggests that according to Rav Huna, Rabbi Meir is possibly the author of the Mishnah. And even though we've seen in Rabbi Meir's sheet before that Rabbi Meir only needs the Chatzima lishma, not the Ktiva lishma, so then what do you need Gadol Omeid Al Gabav for over here? If all you need is the Chatimat Ha'edim to be Lishma, you can go pick it up out of the garbage and have it signed, and it would be fine. So Tosafot over here suggests one of two paths. One path is that Rabbi Meir Midrabanan requires that the get itself be Lishma, and not just the Edim. The Edim is the Oraita. You need to be Lishma, and the get is fine. Midrabanan, we'd also like the core of the get to be Lishma. And therefore, this is according to Rabbi Meir, with the core of the get being Nishma. The other possibility he brings is that Rabbi Meir does not only require the Chatima Lishma, but also requires the Ktiva Lishma, meaning that he requires both. Even though the Gemara, back in the beginning of the Masechta, said that was the sheet of Rabbi Huda, that you require both Ktiva and Chatima Lishma, and they did not assign that to the sheet of Rabbi Meir. There is a possibility of explaining that within the sheet of Rabbi Meir, depending on how you explained the previous Mishnah, and therefore he suggests that maybe this is in that vein in the sheet of Rabbi Meir. The reason to do that is because of the end of the Mishnah, which says, "Shein kiyum haget elo b'chol tamav," which leans heavily towards the sheet of Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, we explained yesterday that you can say b'chol tamav for Rabbi Elazar means with the completion of the get, which means with the usually the Eidei Mesira or the Eidei Chatima. There are ways to even explain it within the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, and that's what most Rishonim do. They explain that Rav Huna is saying this in the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, similar to what we see later on in the Gemara, the Ibai Teima, and then they have to come up with a difference between their opinions within Rabbi Elazar's sheet. what's the chatchila, what's not the chatchila, do you need the toface and the toref? Then they come up with differences between them. For Tosafot, the difference is Rav Huna is saying it in the shita of Rabbi Meir, and the Ibaidema is saying this in the shita of Rabbi Elazar. All right, next Mishnah. Hakol kusherim lavi et haget, chutz micheresh shote v'katan, b'tsuma v'oved kochavim. So anybody can bring a get, with the exception of a cheresh shote v'katan, because they lack daya, they don't have daat, therefore they can't bring it. V'suma, someone who's blind, which we'll speak about in a second, v'oved kochavim, and a non-Jew. Kibela katan v'higdil. If the katan was given the get, and then he brought it, and in between he came of age. Cheresh v'nit pakeach. He was a cheresh, and then, again, he became fully functional. Again, you can see by the terms that the Gemara uses, their view of cheresh, nit pakeach, means that he became clear-minded, or that he was, once again, sharp. Obviously, their view of cheresh is someone who lacks deya. Suma v'nit patach. He was blind, and then he was gained his vision back again. Shoteh v'nishtefa. Shoteh, and someone who was not of sound mind now becomes a sound mind. Oved kochavim v'nitgayer. He was a non-Jew and then converted. Pasul. In all those cases, he is pasul because he started out as a problem. When he began as the shliach, he was not ra'ui to be a shliach. Just because he became qualified as a shliach in the interim, that doesn't change the fact that the whole shlichut, the agency, was created at a time when they were disqualified. And so them becoming qualified in the middle of the process does not help you. On the other hand, aval, pikeach v'nitcharesh, v'chazar v'nitpakeach. Again, if he was completely of clear mind, then became a cheresh, where he was unable to speak or hear, v'chazar v'nitpakeach, and then went back to his original status. Patuach v'nistama v'chazar v'nitpatach. If he had clear vision, then lost his vision, then his vision returned. Shafoi, he was of clear mind, v'nishtateh, and then he lost his mind. Chazar v'nishtafeh, and then he went back to having a sound mind. Kasher, in all of those cases, he is kasher. Kozeaklau, here's the principle, kosh tchilato, v'sofo bedat, kasher. As long as the agency began when they were qualified, and the agency was completed when they were qualified, it doesn't matter that they went disqualified in the middle, because we had the two ends of the agency. The appointment of the agent was at a point when they were qualified, and the completion was when they were also qualified, and therefore it is a fine get. Bishlamo cheresh shote v'katan delav bnei dayaninu. We know what the disqualification of a cheresh shote katan is, because they lack dat. Since they lack dat, they're disqualified from being agents within Gitin. Rashi says over here, Begabi shlichut ish beinan velo katan. It says by shlichut, by agency, the word ish is used. And since it says ish, it means ish with not a katan. And because of that, we disqualify a katan, and seemingly we will disqualify also a cheresh and a shoteh for that reason, because we need someone who's of age and who is a bardat in order to have shlichut. Rashi says it's a din in agency in general, not particular to gitin. Some say that we learn it out of Truma, which we'll see in a little bit, is the source for Shlichut in a number of cases, which is Atem, Gam Atem, that when you are Toreim, it says that you should be Toreim, and then the Gemara learns from Gam Atem, you also, that Gam includes Shlichim. And the Gemara in many instances has a Limud, which is Matem, such and such, Gam Atem, also your Shlichim have to the same qualities. Just like you are functionally able to perform the mitzvah and you have a dat, so too your shlichim have to have the same qualities. And that's learned out of Gam Atem. Or you could say that the failure here is that they have to be shayach to the mitzvah of gitin. Though that is much more difficult to say over here, because even though they are not shayach to gitin over here, they do have the possibility of coming back into the world of gitin if, again, the katan gets older, the cheresh is nitpat keach, or the shoteh is nishtafeh. In all those cases, they could be in the world of gitin, even though right now they may be disqualified. So for one of those reasons, these three individuals are lacking in dat, and therefore disqualified from being an agent for a get. Oved kochavim nami delav bar heterahu. And Oved kochavim is excluded because he's not shayach to the world of gitin and gidushim. As Rashi says over here, If you can't do it for yourself, you cannot be an agent for someone else. Right? That is the way the Gemara in Kiddushin deals with the question of our Kohanim, Shlichei Derachmana or Shlichei Didan. The Kohanim, are they acting as our agents in the Avodah and the Mikdash? Or are they acting as Hashem's agents in the Avodah and the Mikdash? The Gemara's final proof is this. They must be Shlichei Derachmana because they can't be our Shlichim. Because we can't do what they are doing. You know, that since in Israel can't perform the Avodah, the Shliach can't do something that you yourself couldn't do. And the same is true of the Shliach. If the Shliach themselves can't do it, then they can't perform it on behalf of the other party. Both individuals must be relevant to the topic and able to accomplish the topic in order for agency to work. And therefore, the Ovi Kochavim here is disqualified for that reason because he is Lav Bar Heterahu. As Tosfot points out, the Gemara here does not say that they have to be Bnei Brit because the Lav Bar Heterahu includes also Avadim, and Eved Kanani would also be precluded from Lav Bnei Heterah Ninu, because if you use Bnei Brit, then an Eved Kanani might have been included, because he is a Ben Brit, he does have a Milah. And so, in order to exclude not only an Ovei Kochavim, but also an Eved Kanani, Tosfot says the Gemara uses Lashon of Heterah. El Suma Amaylo. What is wrong with a Suma that they can't be an agent for bringing the get? He can't see who he's taking it from and who he's giving it to, and therefore there's a problem in the agency here simply because he doesn't know if he took the get from the husband or if he gave it to the wife, and that's an important factor here. That's the case. How does a Suma mutar to be together with his wife? How does he know it's his wife? And the same question can be asked in a dark setting. How are any individual mutar to engage with their wife if they can't see? Ella b'tviat eina dekala. A person has the ability to identify parties through their voices. I mean that there are certain clear identifying features of individuals and their voice is one of them. Hachanami b'tviat eina dekala. So to over here, the Suma could identify the husband through his voice and identify the wife through her voice and bring the get, and it wouldn't be a problem. So what is the deficit of Suma here being an agent? Elam Rav Yosef, Hacha b'chutza la'aretz askinan. We're talking about here in Chutz La'aretz, Dibai the Meimar, b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam, v'lo matzi the Meimar. The problem for the Suma is that if he's bringing it from overseas, and the demand of the Chachamim is that he say, b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam, he can't do that because he can't say b'fanai. So even though, again, he could be an agent for the get, here there's a particular need for b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, which he cannot fulfill, and that's why he fails as an agent. If that's the case, patuach v'nistama, if the Suma had clear vision, and then only became blind after he became an agent to take the get, the matzi amar, that here he could say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, because he saw it. He had the ability to see when he became the agent. Hachanami de kasher. Then you would suggest that the Suma is kasher in that case. Baktani. Our Mishnah says, patuach v'nistama v'chazar v'nit patach, that if he had clear vision, then went blind, and then got clear vision again, kasher. In that instance, he is kasher. Chazar v'nit patach in lo chazar v'nit patach lo. So it sounds from there that only if he got his vision back is he able to be an agent, but not if he remained a Suma. He says, Huadin, Davagav de lo chazar v'nit patach. It's even in a case where he did not get clear vision back again. So then, why does the Mishnah say that he got his vision back again? Va'aydi diktani shafui v'nishtateh, v'chazar v'nishtafeh, that because it says there a case of a person who was of clear mind or sound mind, then lost their mind, and then came back and had a sound mind again, Taima de chazar v'nishtafeh. Over there, it's absolute. He has to return to sound mind in order to be an agent here. Otherwise, his receipt of the get, or his giving of the get, is not going to be proper. Halo chazar v'nishtafeh? Lo. So in that case, it's absolute, and it's dafka, that if he does not return to being of a sound mind, he cannot be an agent. So Tananami, for a parallel structure in the Mishnah, he also wrote, patuach v'nistama v'chazar v'nitpatach, his kasher in that case, even though that's not absolutely true. It just parallels the case of Shoteh, and therefore it wrote that he was chazar v'nitpatach. Amaravashi, Deganami, there's a diuk out of the Lashon of Mishnah that shows that this explanation by Rav Yosef is correct. Diktani, zeh klal. Kol shemitchilato v'sofo b'dat kasher. Anybody who is of sound mind or has dat in the beginning and the end is kasher. V'loktani kol shemitchilato v'sofo b'kashrut kasher. Doesn't use the more generic term that if you were kasher in the beginning, kasher in the end, then you're kasher. Shema mina, that it's particularly focusing on dat, the issue of dat. And therefore, the Mishnah is only saying that the one who's disqualified is someone who doesn't have dat in the beginning and dat at the end, and that's the shoteh. The case of the suma, who has dat throughout, just needs to have vision or visibility in the first place so that he can say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. After that point, his vision isn't important to the agency, and therefore, if he remains blind, he would be kasher as a shliach, as an agent to bring in to say, b'fanei nechtav, u'b'fanei nechtam. Tosfot says, you cannot extrapolate from the din here, just because a suma is disqualified from being a shliach de gitin, and to say, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam, that anybody who doesn't know the man and woman that he takes the get from and is bringing to, that he is also disqualified because he can't necessarily identify them or say who they are. Says you cannot make that extrapolation because Shema Yesh Lechalek the Davka Suma Sheyachol Hoto Oto, that a Suma is different because a Suma can be easily tricked because he can't see the trick or he can't see a trick being played on him, and you could have someone speaking and someone else handing him a get. You could have problems with a Suma that is not true by another party because the other party knows who handed him the get, even though he may not recognize that individual in particular, or know that individual in particular. Other Rishonim distinguish and say that a Suma, by definition, will have to rely on other people in order to identify and help him through the situation, and that's why he's disqualified. Other individuals who just happen not to know these individuals or recognize these individuals, they can still on their own inquire and figure out the information. They won't have to rely on others necessarily to get the information that they need. And so fundamentally, there's a difference between a shliach who doesn't know the ish v'isha, as opposed to the suma who always will need help from others in order to identify the man and the woman. And again, Tosfot starts out with this havamina that maybe from here you would have to know the man and the woman in order to be a shliach, an agent for the get, but rejects that assumption in the end. So now Tosfot over here mentions that v'hadamar b'yesh nochlim in Baba Batra yodeh lo edut ad shelo nistama. A suma witnesses some event, so he can testify about the event because he saw it, but then after that nistama, he became blind. Pasul le'edut. He can't testify, he's no longer kasher as an aid. So over here, Tosfot wants to understand, if the suma saw the event, but then became a suma, why isn't he pasul over here? Because of the fact that he is now a suma. Seems even though he saw it, he witnessed the event, by the case in Yesh Nochlim, we still disqualify him once he becomes a suma. So Tosfot says, Shani Ocha Gabi Get, Tafil Isha Ne'emenet. What Tosfot is saying is that by Get, there's no requirement of Eidut. We're not asking someone to be an Eid. We're simply asking them to bring the Get and say what we need them to say, which is this validating term, B'fanai Nechtam, B'fanai Nechtam. But that is not really Eidut. How do I know? How do I know it's not really Eidut? It's because a woman could bring it. Someone who is otherwise psula de Eidut still has the right to bring the get and say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. So here, the only disqualification is if it's a suma up front, but a suma on the back end is not problematic for the same reason, which is that we're not speaking about Eidut. That's the way Tosafot deals with the issue. Other Rishonim suggest that suma is not inherently pasul the edut. It's not something that disqualifies him because he's a suma. Therefore, that's an inherent disqualification for edut. There's nothing wrong with the suma or his ability to testify, but rather because the suma, in the case of edut, cannot show people or identify for people the things that he saw in the past. By the case of the get, as long as he saw the get, and it's been his possession all the way along, then we don't worry about the fact that he didn't see it or he can't identify it anymore because he identified it and he kept it in his possession all the way along, and therefore there's no fear of that problem of identifying it for other people, what he has seen in the past. But when it comes to the get or shlichut or agency, over there, since he's not inherently something wrong with him, he's not lacking in that, there we have no problem believing him or having him be the agent. So now the Gemara says, "By me name, Rabbi Ami, Eved Mashi Yoseh Shliach Kabel Get Isha Miyad Bala. An Eved Kanani, can he accept the get on behalf of the woman from her husband?" The way Rashi says it over here about the Kabel Get Miyad Bala, Temi Gureshet BeKabalato Vehu Hadin Nami LeHolacha. And that would be the same question with regards, can the husband send the get with an Eved Kanani? Rashi says the Gemara just posed it as a question of as a shliach likabalah for receipt, but the Gemara would have the same question when it comes to holacha, with the sending of the get. Here, Rashi equates the two, shlichut to send and shlichut to receive. Both of them have the same din. If an Eved Kanani is qualified, he's qualified through and through. If an Eved Kanani is disqualified, then he's disqualified to do both of these operations. There are Rishonim that disagree and say that the Gemara is very particular about its language here. And the only question here is about a shliach the Kabbalah, a shliach to receive the get. But a shliach to send the get is not an issue at all, because in terms of shlichut get, the Eved Kanani is an extension of the individual. He's a yad of the individual. And since he's a yad of the individual, of course the Baal can send the get through his Eved Kanani, because it's as if he stuck his long arm out and sent the get. Well, for that same reason, you would say that, as Rashi does, that the Kabbalah the get should function in the same way. The difference is, the Ramban points this out, that the Kabbalah the get actually makes the get effective. And so over there, we might have a higher standard or need for agency in the receipt of the get rather than the sending of the get, because at the point of acceptance, that's when the get goes effective. And therefore, maybe we have a higher standard there. And then for that reason, there is a difference. And the argument here is about Kabbalah to get and not about Halacha to get. With regards to Kabbalah to get, we're going to see there's a difference of opinion. Whereas Halacha to get, everybody agreed that it was fine. As opposed to Rashi's view, which the two are equated. The Tosfot read over here says, some people suggest that when the Baal gives the get to the Eved Kanani, it's an extension of his Yad, and therefore it is okay or no problem to say that. But he says, Aval, lav miltahi. That is incorrect. Even though we say that an Eved is an extension of his master, lo shehei shlucho, elo kechatzero dome. He did not that he can become his shliach, his agent, but rather simply that he functions like property, that if he finds something, if someone gives him something, it automatically becomes the ownership of the Baal, not because he's an agent of the Baal, but simply because he is like the chatzer of the Baal. And therefore he accepts it on his behalf, or can do things on his behalf. And as he points out, that if a husband puts a get into his chatzer and says to the woman, go pick up your get from there, that wouldn't be a good get, because there's no netina, and that's lacking in netina. And therefore, the Tosafot Reed suggests, along the lines of Rashi, which is there's an equation of equality between Holacha and Kabbalah, which is that if you think David Kanani is good, he's good in both cases. If he's no good, he's no good in both cases. So just know that those are two views within the Rishonim about what we're about to address within the Gemara. So now Rabbi Ami answers, since the Mishnah disqualifies an Oved Kochavim, Bichlal, the Eved Kasher. The diok you would make then out of the Mishnah is that the Oved Kochavim is disqualified, but an Eved Kanani is fine. Amar Avasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Eved Naseh Shliach Lekabel Get. Lisham Yad Bala. Rabbi Yochanan makes a definitive statement that the Eved cannot be a shliach lekabel get, v'sheinu b'torat gitim mikidushin. Says that he cannot be an agent to accept the get on behalf of the woman, because he's not in the world of gitin. He's not in the world of gitin. He's disqualified being an agent. If you can't do it yourself, if you're not in this mitzvah itself, then you're not relevant as an agent. So again, here, according to Rashi, their machloket is through and through. Ravasi thinks that an Eved can be both an agent for Shlichut, for the Baal, and an agent for Kabbalah, for the woman. And Rabbi Yochanan believes they can be neither. Not a Shliach for the Baal, and not a Shliach for Kabbalah, for the woman. On the other hand, the other Rishonim will argue, say that they both agree that the Eved Kanani can be a Shliach for the Baal to send the get. Their machloket is whether he can be a Shliach for Kabbalah, where Ravasi says, yes, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that he cannot be a Shliach for Kabbalah. And we described before why there is a difference between Kabbalah versus Shlichut. Tosfot says here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what do you do with the Mishnah? Rav Asi's diuk out of the Mishnah is a very strong diuk. Why did the Mishnah mention Oved Kuchavim and not mention Eved? Eved would be a bigger chiddush. He's half Jewish. If you mention him in the Mishnah, certainly an Oved Kuchavim would be disqualified. So why does the Mishnah not do that according to Rabbi Yochanan? Tosfot does differentiate based on the previous Gemara that we saw, according to Lashon, that Rabbi Yochanan says that an Oved Kuchavim would be kasher for writing a get, because he's only pasul le-shlichut, but not pasul for ktiva. Then according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense why Oved Kuchavim is here, because it's a big chiddush. The Oved Kuchavim is only disqualified from being a shliach, not disqualified from writing the get. According to the other Lashon, where he says he's also disqualified from writing the get, then you have a bigger problem about why Oved Kuchavim is written over here. So there's some that say that in lemeidim min haklalot, you're not allowed to learn from general principles in the Mishnah. And just because the Mishnah mentions something more generally, you can't be midayik that it's only true to an Oved Kuchavim, not an Eved. Tosafot over here makes the suggestion that there is a chiddush in Oved Kuchavim. And that is, Vomer Rabbi Denu Tam, did not get Oved Kuchavim, the Shemuyan, to teach us Oved Kuchavim in Nitgayer Pasul. To teach us that an Oved Kuchavim that converts is still Pasul. Even though at the moment he was made into an agent, he was already considering, or he was on the process, or on the road to converting. Nevertheless, it does not work. That is a bigger chiddush by Oved Kuchavim, because Oved Kuchavim holds the key to being minit gayer. Oved Kuchavim can decide when he wants to convert, or whether he wants to convert. So we would think, since he intended to convert over here, maybe that's enough to put him in the world of agency for Gitin and Kiddushin. The Mishnah dispels that. By an Eved Kanani, that's not as big a chiddush, because an Eved Kanani does not control his destiny. He cannot make the decision on when nishtachrer, when he's going to be freed. So even though technically you'd have the same question if he was freed, similar to the Oved Kuchavim and Nitgayer, but the difference, as the Rabbeinu Tam points out, is that the Oved Kuchavim controls that ability to be Nitgayer. The Eved Kanani does not control when he's nishtachrer. And therefore it's a bigger chiddush to teach us that the Oved Kuchavim is disqualified even though he was Nitgayer. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it focused on Oved Kuchavim and not an Eved Kanani. Right, Matkifla Rabbi Elazar, Taima b'milta deleta. So the reasoning that you're giving over here is the fact that he is disqualified or has no relationship to this mitzvah, that's what disqualifies him in this instance. Ha b'milta deite. If he is relevant to the mitzvah, kasher, then he would be a good agent. This is what we've been saying all along. If you're relevant to the mitzvah, then you can be an agent. You're not relevant to the mitzvah, you're not an agent. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says over here. The Eved's not relevant to Gidin and Kiddushin, therefore he's not a good agent. So then Gemara says, Va'ovi Kuchavim, Va'kuti, Ditnuhu B'torat Truma D'Nafshayu. And Ovi Kuchavim and Akuti have relevance in their own produce, being Chayav and Truma. That's not, we have a Mishnah. Ovi Kuchavim V'Akuti Shetarmu Mishalehem, Trumatam Truma. They took off Truma from their own produce. Whatever they separated has a din of Truma. Vitnan. But we also have a Mishnah there in Trumot that says, Ovei Kochavim Shetaram Shel Yisrael. If an Ovei Kochavim takes off Truma on behalf of a Jew's produce, Afilu Birshut. Even if the Jew grants him the right of agency to do this, Ein Trumato Truma. His Truma fails. It's not a good Truma. My taima, what's the reason for that? La mishum dichtiv. Isn't it because the pasuk says, gam atem? So that's the pasuk that I mentioned before with regards to truma, which says, kein tarimu gam atem, that you have to take off truma. And it should just say, kein tarimu atem. You should take off the truma. What's gam atem? Also you. The Gemara learns from that, af shluchachem. Even your agents can act on your behalf to separate truma. So now the Gemara says, well, if you have gam atem, ma atem Yisrael, Ashluchachem Israel, just like you are Jewish, so too your agents must be Jewish. And that would preclude a Nachri from doing or from performing the separation of the Truma on behalf of the Israel. And that would be the explanation for the Mishnah. And of course, an Eved is Chayav in Mitzvot like an Isha. If that's the case, he's Chayav in Shumot and Masrot. So why would the Eved here be disqualified from being a Shliach for the Baal in doing the Hafashat Truma based on the Gam Atem, if he is Chayav in the Mitzvah of Truma? And that would undermine our principle that when you're Chayav in the Mitzvah, or when you are relevant in the Mitzvah, you can be an agent. When you're not relevant in the Mitzvah, you can't be an agent. Here, the Eved is relevant in the Mitzvah, and yet he's being disqualified from being an agent. Amarei debei Rabbi Yanai lo. No, that's not the right explanation. Ma atem b'nei brit, af shluchachem b'nei brit. Just like you are b'nei brit, so too your shluchim have to be a ben brit. So now Rashi points out is that but ma atem b'nei brit mehulim ubal b'brit mitzvot. Since you have a brit milah, that's all you need in terms of qualifying for being an agent. Af shluchachem b'nei brit. So too, your agents have to be individuals who have a brit milah. Lafuke oveid kol chavim. It comes to exun oveid kol chavim, but eved ben brit who? He is considered ben brit, and therefore he is included. So now, in terms of the oveid kol chavim, we have a specific pasuk that excludes him from the ability to take off truma, even though he is relevant in the world of truma. Now, as Rashi explains here, how is an Oveid Kochavim possibly relevant in the world of Chuma? Why is Zimming Mafrish Chuma from his produce? So Rashi claims here, it's the Savar Ein Kinyan Oveid Kochavim Be'eretz Yisrael Lafkia Mikdushat Maser. That a non-Jewish ownership within Eretz Yisrael does not have the ability to change Kedushat Aretz. Kedushat Aretz is permanent, and if the Goy buys the land, the Kedushat of the Aretz remains intact, and you still have to be mafrish trumot from the produce that's there. The goy's ownership over the land does not change the status. This is one of the small issues that comes up with heter mechira, was if you really believe that you can sell it to a goy, and that is mafkia the kedusha from the aretz. It might be that even if you sell it to a goy, it still has kedusha to aretz, and it's not mufka from the kedusha to aretz. Even Rav Kook, who supported heter mechira, says that you should treat the produce that comes from the land of the goy with kedushat shvi'it misafek for this reason. Very interesting that those who took up the position of Rav Kook and allowed heter mechira left out the other half of Rav Kook's statement, which is that you should still treat it like kedushat shvi'it, partly because of this. There are other reasons also for that, but that a goy cannot be mafkia mi kedushat haaretz possibly. If that's the case, then selling it to the goy doesn't help you. It helps you in terms of malacha, in terms of the isur of shvi'it, which is not on the goy, but it's only on the Jew. But in terms of the produce would still retain its kedushat shvi'it. So Rashi over here says that's what is going on in this case, and that's why the Oveid Kochavim is taking off truma from his own produce. He is disqualified because of atem gam atem, but what our question is by the Eved. An Eved is relevant by truma. How do you do that if the disqualification is Ma'atem Yisrael af Yisuchacham Yisrael? Just like you are Yisrael, so too your agents have to be Yisrael. That would disqualify the Eved as well. The Tana de Beit Rabbi Yanai amends it and says, no, that's not the Limud. The Limud is Ma'atem B'nei Brit af Shluchacham B'nei Brit. Just like you have a Brit Milah, so too your Shlichim have to have a Brit Milah. That disqualifies an Oveid Kochavim, but allows an Eved Kanani, who has a Brit Milah, to act on your behalf. He's not excluded from that Pasuk. Tosafot over here disagrees and says that the reason that you're Chayav and Shuma here is even according to the one who says that if you sell it to an Oveid Kochavim, it's Mufka Mikdushat Aretz. Even according to that Deya, you can come up with cases where the Oveid Kochavim would Chayav and Shuma, depending under whose ownership the Chiyuv Masro took place. For different items, the threshold by when or which they become chayav and masro is at different stages of growth. For instance, in tvua, for grains, once grains reach the 1/3 point of their growth, that's when the chayuv maser devolves upon the grains. That means whoever is the owner at that time determines whether it has a chayuv maser or who the chayuv maser is on. So if it was in the possession of a Jew when it reached that point of 1/3 and then was sold to a goy afterwards, that kedusha remains on the tvua, and the goy would have to separate out trumot because it became chayav and masrot under the auspices of a Jew. So that's what Tosafot says. You can come up even with scenarios where even if a goy is mafkia mikdushat aretz, that the produce itself would not be mufka from kedushat aretz, and that's the scenario that we're speaking about here. Right now, the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Chir ba'avam Rabbi Yochanan, ein ha'eved nase shliach lekabel get isha miyad ba'ala, lefi she'en ha'betorat gitim." Vikidushin. So this is Rabbi Yochanan's statement that we saw before. A Eved Kanani cannot be a agent to receive the get on behalf of the woman because he's not relevant to the mitzvah of Gitin and Kedushavim. V'afal pishishaninu, even though we have a other statement which says, Hare at shivcha, V'vladcha ben chorim. If a owner says to his shifcha knanit, you will remain a shifcha, but your child will go free. Here the child is yet to be born. It's a child in utero right now. It's a fetus. Imayza ubra zachta lo. If she was pregnant at the time, if there was a fetus, then zachta lo. She's able to acquire on behalf of this fetus his rights to freedom. My imayza ubra zachta lo. What does that mean? If she was pregnant or she had a fetus at that time, that she is able to acquire the freedom on his behalf. Kiata Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Rav Yochanan Tarte Amar. He's saying two things. Nirim Dvarim She'evin Mekabel Get the Chaviro Miad Rabo Shel Chaviro Avolo Miad Rabo Shelo. The first thing is that an Eved can accept a document of freedom from his friend's owner on behalf of his friend. Avolo Miad Rabo Shelo, but not from his own owner. In the case where it's from his own owner, the problem is that it never left the ownership of his master. When his master hands the document of emancipation to his own Eved Kenani, it's like he's handing it from his left hand to his right hand. And therefore, when the Eved Kenani accepts it on behalf of his friend, he's done absolutely nothing. The truth is, if he accepts it for himself, and the document of emancipation is for himself, there we say, Yado v'shichruro ba'im ke'achad. That at the moment that he is freed, he also gains independent ownership. And so simultaneously, he's able to accept his emancipation and gain his emancipation. But here, when he's doing it on behalf of someone else, you can't say that. And therefore, the Eved who acts on behalf of his friend, if it's his own master, then he's done absolutely nothing. On the other hand, if he accepts a document of emancipation for his friend, but from his friend's master, then there has been a change in ownership. Because the other Adon has no relationship with this Eved. And so when he hands it to that Eved, there was a change in ownership, and there's a Zchia on behalf of the Eved that he is trying to free. Even if you say that the Eved Kenani is an extension of his master, still functioning that way, he's accepted it on behalf of the Eved, and therefore the document of emancipation should go through. So that's number one. Number two is, Im lachshach adam lomar zo alacha snuya. So if someone comes to say to you that that's not true, why? Because we have this halakha from Tmura, which says, imayta ubra zachta lo. So then from there it sounds like an Eved Kenani or a Shifcha Kenanit can act on behalf of their friend. From here the master says to the Shifcha Kenanit, you will remain my Shifcha, but your fetus will be freed. How does the fetus gain its freedom over here? It's because the Shifcha is accepting the emancipation of the Ubar on behalf of the Ubar. But the Shifcha Kenanit is his own Shifcha Kenanit. So here it would seem that your own Eved can accept a document of emancipation on behalf of another party. So don't worry about that, because Amar lo shnei gdolei ador pirshu et hadavar. There were two gdolim of the door who explained why that is different than our case. Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak. The two of them, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak and Rabbi Zeira, explain this. Rashi seems as being a cumulative answer. I mean, together, they give you the answer. Chadamar hamani rabihi. One of them says, who is the author of this position? It's Rabbi. That says, amishachrer chatzi abdo kana. That someone who releases half of their eved, they are koneh. They are able to acquire half of their emancipation. Even though, again, the way that it functions is that when you give a document of emancipation to the Eved, simultaneously with his receipt of the emancipation, he then gains his own ownership, and the two together allow him to go free. But over here, it's only half of him that that's happening to. Do we still say that? So Rabbi says yes. Shachrer chazi abdo kana. The Eved can be kone simultaneously a half of his freedom. The Chadamar, my time with Rabbi. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi's shita? Bahakasavar ubar yerech imohu. That over here, he thinks that the ubar is an extension of the mother. And therefore, it's the equivalent of freeing a portion or a part of the woman. Because if they were really viewed as separate entities, then it would be the case that we're talking about before, where one Eved is accepting on behalf of the other Eved, and if it's the coming from the master, you can't do anything. The Shifcha cannot accept it on behalf of the ubar, because that's like an Eved accepting from his Adon on behalf of another Eved, and it doesn't work. The only way it works is for these two reasons. One is uber yerechimo. The fetus is an extension of the mother. So when you free the fetus, it's as if you have freed half the woman, or one of the limbs of the woman, which Rabbi says works. And since that works because there is, as Rashi says over here, the Gitobi Ado Baim Ke'echad over here, as far as that limb is concerned. And so therefore, that is how it works in this instance, but that won't color what we said before, which is that the Eved cannot be a Shliach LeKabbalah on behalf of another party, because he is an extension of his master, and therefore he is not an accepting party that can grant rights to another Eved. So Tosfot over here questions this whole premise and says that if you say that the whole reason an Eved can gain freedom when he is granted a document of emancipation is because of Yado v'shichruro ba'im ke'echad, or Yado v'gito ba'im ke'echad, how does it function over here when it's just one Eved, or it's just a portion of the Eved? He says, Tema the Reed. He says, Kishmech shachver kula, yesh lach koach l'zchot mishum d'gita v'yada ba'im ke'echad. But over here, where you're only doing one Eved, how does that work? How does it function? Tosfot leaves it as a tzarech chiyoni. He does not know how it functions over here. Other Rishonim suggest, along the lines of what I said before, that that idea can be even utilized with one Eiver. Even with a single Eiver, an individual can have Gito v'yado ba'im ke'echad. Whatever portion of the individual is being freed over here, that portion of the individual can gain independent ownership at the same time that they get the emancipation, and through that coincident execution of the emancipation and the freedom gained gives them an ability to take a certain amount of ownership independent of their master, even with less than the whole Eved. That's what some Rishonim say. Others suggest that the situation here is where he gave the document of emancipation to a third party to be mizakeh, to acquire on behalf of the shifcha or the ubra here, where he frees half of the individual, and that's how it goes into effect, and that's how they answer this problem that Tosafot raises. All right, next Mishnah. Af hanashim she'enam ne'manot lomar meit bala ne'manot laviat gita. Even women who generally are not believed when it comes to an aguna to say that her husband passed away because they have a vested interest in hurting this woman or ridding themselves of this woman because they're in competition with this woman for whatever reason, whether it is a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, whether it's a sister-in-law relationship, or whether it's a co-wife. In all those situations, the five that we mentioned in the Mishnah in Yevamot, Chamuta, her mother-in-law, Ubat Chamuta, and her sister-in-law, meaning that her husband's sister, Bitsarata, and her co-wife, Vivimta, her sister-in-law, meaning that her brother's husband's wife, Ubat Bala, and her stepdaughter, all these individuals have a bone to pick with her for different reasons. Some of them because of their natural relationship, some of them because of their possible relationship that they will have. But because of that competition, we don't believe them when they say that the husband passed away, because they again have a vested interest in seeing to her detriment. Despite that, over here, if they bring a get and say, "B'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam," we believe them. Ma ben get the mita. What's the difference between a get and death? Shaktav mochiach. By a get, you have other outside evidence that corroborates what they're saying, which is they have a get in hand that is signed, and therefore they're not just making something up. We're not just relying on their word. All their word does is corroborate what's found inside of the get. Aishat sma meviad gita. Something we mentioned earlier in the Masechta, in the first parak, that a woman can bring her own get. As long as when she brings the get, she says, or in essence, when the husband gives her the get, he has to not give it to her to accept the get now, but rather to be an agent to bring the get to the Beit Din wherever she goes. When she reaches that Beit Din, she will then say, and then accept the get and be divorced at that moment. So that's how she overcomes this problem, because then the get will be validated in that manner. If she just shows up with the get and she's already divorced, then saying b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, that doesn't necessarily work anymore, because the divorce already took place. Now she's testifying about the divorce, which she's not qualified to do. But if she acts as an agent for the husband, then she has the rights that are given by the Chachamim to anyone to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, that it's not to edul, but rather to giloi milta, as Tosfot termed it earlier in the Masechta, and that even the woman herself has a right to do. V'atanya, don't we have a bright that it says, k'shem she'ein ne'manot lomar meit bala, kach ein ne'manot avigita. Don't we have a brayta that says the opposite of our Mishnah, just like they are disqualified from testifying about the fact that a woman's husband has passed away to prevent her from being an aguna, so too by kitin, they are also disqualified. So Rav Yosef lokasha, Rav Yosef says it's not a problem. Kan ba'aretz, kan b'chutz la'aretz. Depends where. Ba'aretz dalava di burei di daka samchinan, in Eretz Yisrael, where when she brings the get, we don't need her to say bifanai nechtav ufanai nechtam. So over there, we don't need her at all. So in that case, mehemna, she is believed, and that's the case in our Mishnah. B'chutz la'aretz da dibra di daka samchinan lo mehemna. In chutz la'aretz, where we have to rely on their saying bifanai nechtav ufanai nechtam, there we won't believe them because they become pivotal in the kashruta get. And since they're pivotal in the kashruta get, we won't believe them. Amar le Abayi adarabo ipcha mistabro. Abayi says to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, I think just the opposite. Your logic is flawed. Ba'aretz di ati ba'al me'ar'ar mishkachinan bay lo mehemna. So therefore, they should not be believed. In Eretz Yisrael, if the Baal comes and casts aspersions on the get, we will believe him. Dika le'meimar le'kukula kamikavno. That these women are trying to cause her problems. They are trying to mess her up. And so therefore, if the husband shows up afterwards and casts aspersions on the get, we're going to listen to the husband and the get will be disqualified. If that's the case, this woman who went off and got married is in big trouble. So these five women have a way to ruin her life. And that's exactly what they'd like to do, is ruin her life. So therefore, they should not be empowered in that case to bring the get. B'chutz la'aretz, di'ati ba'al ma'ar'ar, when she brings it from chutz la'aretz and says, bifanai nechtav, bifanai nechtam, if the husband comes and questions the get, lo meshkechinen bay, we don't listen to him. He cannot cast aspersions on the get, mehemna. And therefore they should be believed. Because in that case, they can't mess up the woman. Because even if they were trying to mess her up, when the Baal comes and says, I never did this, he's not believed. The bifanai nechtav, bifanai nechtam is believed like two edim. And that overcomes the husband's questions or aspersions that he's casting on this get. And therefore, Abayi seems like a much stronger statement. Tosafot over here tries to explain, but what was Rav Yosef thinking? So he says, Rav Yosef Savar, the Melkom Akom, Yecholah, the Bekil Galav, that you could still cause a problem. If the husband shows up with Eidim later on and says, I never sent the get, then these women could really mess her up. So even though the husband himself cannot cause a problem, but the husband with Eidim could cause her a problem from Chutz La'aretz. And that's what we're worried about because they are the pivotal step from Chutz La'aretz, which is, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, is what turns it into a kosher get. Again, what Abayi will say is that's just a giloy milta. We have the get, we have the signatories. B'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam is just simply a giloy milta. It's a corroboration of what we see in the document. And even though it might be their vested interest to have her get divorced from the husband, forget about ruining her life for being mekalkelota, it might just be their vested interest to have her be divorced. So the Rishonim explained over here that they wouldn't go through all this trouble and they wouldn't falsify the get just to have the woman be divorced from the husband. They want to see her downfall. They want to see her be ruined by what happens. And therefore, we only suspect them of doing something nefarious, but not simply having her be divorced from the husband. Now, many of the Rishonim discuss over here what is obvious, that if they brought it from Chutz La'aretz and did not say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam, then of course they would not be believed in this case. The question that they raise is, what happens if they do say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam inside of Eretz Yisrael? Are they then believed? Some Rishonim say no, because it wasn't instituted there. If it's not instituted there, you're saying b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam is ignored, and we think they're just trying to cause her problems. On the other hand, there are many Rishonim, including the Ramban, who believe that b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam in Eretz Yisrael would work, and the terminology aretz and chutz la'aretz here are not definitive, but rather qualitatively describing the different options. If you say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, then the husband cannot come and question the get, and therefore, it works, and these five women are believed. On the other hand, if they do not say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, then the husband is believed, and therefore these women are not believed because they can cause her tremendous amount of difficulty and stress by making up the whole story. And so the Ramban views it as being a difference as to whether they do or do not say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, because that has impact on whether the husband can cast aspersions on the get. We have a bright that supports Abayi's understanding. Rav Shimon Lazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva Yishanah men et lavi gita mikal v'chomer. A woman is believed to bring her own get from a kal v'chomer. Amana shim shamru chachamim ina manod lomar meid bala. The five women which the chachamim say cannot testify as to the fact that her husband passed away. Nemanot lavi gita. They are believed to bring her get, meaning that's the case in our Mishnah. He, Shinemenolomar made Bala, she herself, who is believed to say that her husband passed away as an aguna, and she's believed then, and she can get married based on her own testimony. Inudin Shinemenolavigita, she certainly should be believed in bringing her get. Even though by made Bala, the reason that we would suspect her is because she might just simply be lying to allow herself to get married. But there we have contrary evidence, which is that the husband will show up if she was lying. If that happens, we know from the Mishnayot and Yevamot that there are extreme penalties that she will have. In the case here of Nitgarsha, you could suggest that the reason she's lying here is because she wants to marry someone else, so she fell in love with someone else over here. And just because she's believed by the case of Meit Bala doesn't mean that we'll believe her by the case of Nitgarsha. And that's why we need the Kal V'chomer to overcome that possibility of saying that we would believe her by Meit Bala, not by Nitgarsha. Omi Makom Shibat. And if that's the case, this is the way the Kal V'chomer is working, then you should have to put on the qualifications of the Kal V'chomer, which is Mal Halan Srichot Shiyomru B'faneinu Nechtam B'faneinu Nechtam. Those women, those five women, are only qualified to bring the get and have it be a kosher get when they say B'fanei Nechtam B'fanei Nechtam. Afi, so too the woman herself is only qualified to bring her own get if she says, Srichash Teamer, Bifanai Nechtav, Ubifanai Nechtam. That was the only way that she's qualified. Obviously, here we're speaking about Chutz Laretz. How do you know we're speaking about Chutz Laretz? Because it demands Bifanai Nechtav, Ubifanai Nechtam. What do you see? That the five women are believed in Chutz Laretz, and that is like Abaye, who says that we believe the five women when they're bringing it from Chutz Laretz. We would not believe them when they are in Eretz Yisrael. Ravashi matnita nami deka. Our Mishnah is miduyeket that is the case. Diktani haisha tzma mivia gita. A woman can bring her own get. Ubavache trichalumar. And as long as she says b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam shmamina that our Mishnah is a case of chutz laretz, because the end of the Mishnah is clearly saying you have to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam, implying that the Mishnah is talking about a case of chutz laretz, and the five women are mentioned in our Mishnah, which means that they are kasherim when they bring it from Chutz Laretz. For Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, you actually have a strange phenomenon over here. Reisha v'seifa b'chutz laretz. The Reisha and the Seifa are talking about Chutz Laretz, u'mitziata b'aretz. And the middle section of the Mishnah is talking about in Eretz Yisrael. The Seifa is Haisha Atzma, the woman herself, because it says there, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, that's clearly talking about Chutz Laretz. According to Rav Yosef, the five women that are believed is a case inside of Eretz Yisrael. That's where he says they are believed. The previous Mishnah that spoke about Akok Shirim La Viget, there we were talking about Chutz Laretz, because by the Summa, he has to be able to see, because he can say, B'fanai Nechtav, B'fanai Nechtam. So you have the Reisha, Chutz Laretz. The Seifa, Chutz Laretz. The middle section about the Chamesh Nashim Nemanot, Yosef says that's talking about in Eretz Yisrael. So you have this strange phenomenon within the Mishnah that you have Chutz Laretz, Baretz, and then Chutz Laretz. Mar says in, Reisha Seifa b'chutz laretz, mitziyata b'aretz, mimai. You can't just say that. It seems unusual. Abaye makes more sense to say everything's talking about chutz laretz. Why would Rav Yosef do such a thing? Mirtani magen get lemita. Because the Mishnah says, what's the difference between a get and mita? Shaktav mochiach. Because the writing of the get is the determining factor over here, and we're not really relying on these women. V'lotani shaktav upe mochiach. It doesn't say the reason that here we believe them is because the get, the writing in the get, plus the saying of b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam is what differentiates it from the case of mita. Because according to Abaye, not only is the fact that you bring the get that's here, but it's also that you're saying b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam that is the determining factor as to why they're believed. Because the husband can't come then and question what they did. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah simply says that the ktav, just the writing of the get, is what's mochiach, not the peh itself. And that's Rav Yosef's diuk out of the Mishnah, that that case must be a case of Ba'aretz Yisrael, because it doesn't seem like there's a demand for peh in that case. All right, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph.